7.5 years ago.
He wants to send me to Carbranth.
Cal sat perched atop his rock.
To train to become a surgeon.
What? Really?
Lareth walked across the edge of the rock just in front of him. She had golden streaks in her otherwise black hair. She wore it long, and it streamed out behind her in a gust of wind as she balanced, hands out to the sides. The hair was distinctive, but of course, her eyes were more so. Bright, pale green. So different from the browns and blacks of the townspeople. There really was something different about being a Light Eyes.
Yes, really. He's been talking about it for a couple of years now.
And you didn't tell me?
Cal shrugged. He and Laurel were atop a low bridge of boulders to the east of Hearthstone. Tien, his younger brother, was picking through rocks at the base. To Cal's right, a grouping of shallow hillsides rolled to the west. They were sprinkled with lavis polyps, a planting halfway to being harvested. He felt oddly sad as he looked over those hillsides, filled with working men. The dark brown polyps would grow like melons filled with grain. After being dried, that grain would feed the entire town and their High Prince's armies. The Ardents, who passed through town, were careful to explain that the calling of a farmer was a noble one, one of the highest, save for the calling of a soldier. Cal's father whispered under his breath that he saw far more honor in feeding the kingdom than he did in fighting and dying in useless wars.
Cal, why didn't you tell me?
Sorry, I wasn't sure if father was serious or not. So I didn't say anything.
That was a lie. He'd known his father was serious. Cal just hadn't wanted to mention leaving to become a surgeon, particularly not to Laurel.
I thought you were going to become a soldier.
Cal shrugged. She rolled her eyes, hopping down off her ridge onto a stone beside him.
Don't you want to become a Light Eyes? Win a shard blade?
Father says that doesn't happen very often.
I'm sure you could do it.
Those eyes, so bright and alive, shimmering green, the color of life itself. More and more, Cal found that he liked looking at Laurel. Cal knew, logically, what was happening to him. His father had explained the process of growing with the precision of a surgeon. But there was so much feeling involved, emotions that his father's sterile descriptions hadn't explained. Some of those emotions were about Laurel and the other girls of the town. Other emotions had to do with the strange blanket of melancholy that smothered him at times when he wasn't expecting.
Look.
Laurel stood up again and climbed atop her rock, her fine yellow dress ruffled in the wind. One more year, and she'd start wearing a glove on her left hand, the mark that a girl had entered adolescence.
Up, come on, look.
Cal hauled himself to his feet, looking eastward. There, snarbrush grew in dense thickets around the bases of stout markel trees.
What do you see?
Brown snarlbrush. Looks like it's probably dead.
The origin is out there. This is the Stormlands. Father says we're here to be a windbreak for more timid lands to the west. We've got a noble heritage, Cal. Dark eyes and light eyes alike. That's why the best warriors have always been from Alethkar. High Prince Sadeas, General Amaram, King Gavilar himself.
I suppose.
I hate talking to you when you're like this, you know?
Like what?
Like you are now. You know, moping around, sighing.
You're the one who just sighed, Laurel.
You know what I mean.
She stepped down from the walk, walking over to go pout. She did that sometimes. Cal stayed where he was, looking eastward. He wasn't sure how he felt. His father really wanted him to be a surgeon, but he wavered. It wasn't just because of the stories, the excitement and wonder of them. He felt that by being a soldier, he could change things, really change them. A part of him dreamed of going to war, of protecting Alethkar, of fighting alongside heroic Light Eyes, of doing good someplace other than a little town that nobody important ever visited. He sat down. Sometimes he dreamed like that. Other times he found it hard to care about anything. His dreary feelings were like a black eel coiled inside of him. The snarlbrush out there survived the storms by growing together densely about the bases of the mighty markel trees. Their bark was coated with stone, their branches thick as a man's leg. But now, the snarlbrush was dead. It hadn't survived. Pulling together hadn't been enough for it.
Kaladin?
He turned to find Tien. Tien was 10 years old. 2 years Cal's junior, though he looked much younger. While other kids called him a runt, Liren said that Tien just hadn't hit his height yet. But, well, with those round, flushed cheeks and that slight build, Tien did look like a boy half his age.
Kaladin, what are you looking at?
Dead weeds.
Oh, well, you need to see this.
What is it?
Tien opened his hands to reveal a small stone, weathered on all sides, but with a jagged break on the bottom. Cal picked it up, looking it over. He couldn't see anything distinctive about it at all. In fact, it was dull.
It's just a rock.
Not just a rock.
Tien took out his canteen. He wetted his thumb, then rubbed it on the flat side of the stone. The wetness darkened the stone and made visible an array of white patterns in the rock.
See?
The strata of the rock alternated white, brown, black. The pattern was remarkable. Of course, it was still just a rock. But for some reason, Cal found himself smiling.
That's nice, Tien.
Cal moved to hand the rock back. Tien shook his head.
Well, I found it for you, to make you feel better.
It was just a stupid rock. Yet, inexplicably, Cal did feel better.
Thanks. Hey, you know what? I'll bet there's a lurg or two hiding in these rocks somewhere. Want to see if we can find one?
Yes, yes, yes!
Tien began moving down the rocks. Cal moved to follow, but paused, remembering something his father had said. He poured some water on his hand from his own canteen and flung it at the brown snarl brush. Wherever sprayed droplets fell, the brush grew instantly green, as if he were throwing paint. The brush wasn't dead. It just dried out, waiting for the storms to come. Cal watched the patches of green slowly fade back to tan as the water was absorbed.
Kaladin!
Tien often used Cal's full name, even though Cal had asked him not to.
Is this one?
Cal moved down across the boulders, pocketing the rock he'd been given. As he did so, he passed Laurel. She was looking westward toward her family's mansion. Her father was the city lord of Hearthstone. Cal found his eyes lingering on her again. That hair of hers was beautiful, with the two stark colors. She turned to Cal and frowned.
We're going to hunt some lurgs. Come on.
You're cheerful suddenly.
I don't know. I feel better.
How does he do that, I wonder?
Who does what?
Your brother. He changes you.
Tien's head popped up behind some stones and he waved eagerly, bouncing up and down with excitement.
It's just hard to be gloomy when he's around. Come on. Do you want to watch the lurg or not?
I suppose.
Laurel held out a hand toward him.
What's that for?
To help me down.
Laurel, you're a better climber than me or Tien. You don't need help.
It's polite, stupid.
She proffered her hand more insistently. Cal took it. Then she proceeded to hop down without even leaning on it or needing his help.
She has been acting very strange lately.
The two of them joined Tien, who jumped down into a hollow between some boulders. The younger boy pointed eagerly. A silky patch of white grew in a crevice on the rock. It was made of tiny thread spun together into a ball about the size of a boy's fist.
I'm right, aren't I? That is one!
Cal lifted the flask and poured water down the side of the stone onto the patch of white. The threads dissolved in the simulated rainwater, the cocoon melting to reveal a small creature with slick brown and green skin. The lurg had six legs that it used to grip the stone, and its eyes were in the center of its back. It hopped off the stone, searching for insects. Tien watched it bounce from rock to rock, sticking to the stones. It left behind patches of mucus wherever it landed. Cal leaned back against the stone, watching his brother, remembering days not so long ago when chasing lurgs had been more exciting.
So, what are you going to do if your father tries to send you to Carbranth?
I don't know. The surgeons won't take anyone before their 16th weeping, so I've got time to think.
It sounds like your father is forcing you to do what he wants, not what you want.
That's the way everyone does it. The other boys don't mind becoming farmers because their fathers were farmers, and Raoul just became the new town carpenter. He didn't mind that it was what his father did. Why should I mind being a surgeon?
Ugh! Cal, if you go to War and find a shard blade, then you'd be a Light Eyes! I mean, oh, this is useless.
Laurel settled back, folding her arms even more tightly. Cal scratched his head. She really was acting oddly.
I wouldn't mind going to war, winning honor and all that. Mostly, I'd like to travel, see what the other lands are like.
Cal had heard tales of exotic animals like enormous crustaceans or eels that sang, of Ral Ilorum, City of Shadows, or Kurth, City of Lightning. He'd spent a lot of time studying these last few years. Cal's mother said he should be allowed to have a childhood rather than focusing so much on his future. Liren argued that the tests to be admitted by the Carbranthian surgeons were very rigorous. If Cal wanted a chance with them, he'd have to begin learning early. And yet, to become a soldier. The other boys dreamed of joining the army, of fighting with King Gavilar. There was talk of going to war with Yarkaved once and for all. What would it be like to finally see some of the heroes from stories? To fight with High Prince Sadeas or Dalinar the Blackthorn? Eventually, the Lurg realized that it had been tricked. It settled down on a rock to spin its cocoon again. Cal grabbed a small, weathered stone off the ground, then laid a hand on Tien's shoulder, stopping the boy from prodding the tired amphibian. Cal had moved forward and nudged the Lurg with two fingers, making it hop off the boulder and onto his stone. He handed this to Tien, who watched with wide eyes as the Lurg spun its cocoon, spitting out the wet silk and using tiny hands to shape it. That cocoon would be watertight from the inside, sealed by dried mucus, but rainwater outside would dissolve the sac. Cal smiled, then lifted the flask and drank. This was cool, clean water, which had already had the creme settled out. Creme, the sludgy brown material that fell with rainwater, could make a man sick. Everyone knew that, not just surgeons. You always let water sit for a day, then poured off the fresh water on top and used the creme to make pottery. The Lurg eventually finished its cocoon. Tien immediately reached for the flask. Cal held the flask high.
It'll be tired, Tien. It won't jump around anymore.
Oh.
I put it on that stone so you could carry it around. You can get it out later, or you could drop it in Father's bathwater through the window.
Tien grinned at that prospect. Cal ruffled the boy's dark hair.
Go see if you can find another cocoon. If we catch two, you'll have one to play with and one to slip into the bathwater.
Tien carefully set the rock aside, then scampered up over the boulders. The hillside here had broken during a high storm several months back, shattered as if it had been hit by the fist of some enormous creature. People said that it could have been a home that got destroyed. They burned prayers of thanks to the Almighty, while at the same time whispering of dangerous things that moved in the darkness at full storm. Were the Voidbringers behind the destruction? Or had it been the shades of the Lost Radiance? Laryl was looking toward the mansion again. She smoothed her dress nervously. Lately, she took far more care not getting her clothes dirty than she once had.
You still thinking about war?
Yes, I am.
Makes sense.
An army had come through recruiting just a few weeks back and had picked up a few of the older boys, though only after City Lord Wistio had given permission.
What do you think broke the rocks here during the high storm?
I couldn't say.
Cal looked eastward. What sent the storms? His father said no ship had ever sailed for the origin of storms and returned safely. Few ships ever even left the coast. Being caught on the open seas during a storm meant death, so the story said. He took another sip from his flask, then capped it, saving the rest in case Tien found another Lurg. Distant men worked the fields wearing overalls, laced brown shirts, and sturdy boots. It was worming season. A single worm could ruin an entire polyp's worth of grain. It would incubate inside, slowly eating as the grain grew. When you finally opened up the polyp in the fall, all you'd find was a big fat slug the size of two men's hands. And so they searched in the spring, going over each polyp. Where they found a burrow, they'd stick in a reed tipped with sugar, which the worm would latch onto. You pulled it out and squished it under your heel, then patched the hole with creme. It could take weeks to properly worm a field, and farmers usually went over their heels three or four times, fertilizing as they went. Cal had heard the process described 100 times over. You didn't live in a town like Hearthstone without listening to men gripe about worms. Oddly, he noticed a group of older boys gathering at the foot of one of the hills. He recognized all of them, of course. Jost, Jest, brothers, Mord, Tift, Nagat, Cav, and others. They each had solid Alethi Dark Eyes names, not like Kaladin's own name. It was different.
Why aren't they worming?
I don't know.
Laryl shifted her attention to the boys. She got an odd look in her eyes.
Let's go see.
Laryl started down the hillside before Cal had a chance to object. He scratched his head, looking toward Tien.
We're going down to the hillside there.
A youthful head popped up behind a boulder. Tien nodded energetically, then turned back to his searching. Cal slipped off the boulder and walked down the slope after Laryl. She reached the boys, and they regarded her with uncomfortable expressions. She'd never spent much time with them, not like she had with Cal and Tien. Her father and his were pretty good friends, for all that one was light-eyed and the other dark. Laryl took a perch on a nearby rock, waiting and saying nothing. Cal walked up. Why had she wanted to come down here if she wasn't going to talk to the other boys?
Ho, Jost.
Senior among the boys at 14, Jost was nearly a man, and he looked it too. His chest was broad beyond his years, his legs thick and stocky like those of his father. He was holding a length of wood from a sapling that had been shaved into a rough approximation of a quarterstaff.
Why aren't you worming?
It was the wrong thing to say, and Cal knew it immediately. Several of the boys' expressions darkened. It was a sore point to them that Cal never had to work the hills. His protests, that he spent hours upon hours memorizing muscles, bones, and cures, fell on uncaring ears. All they saw was a boy who got to spend his days in the shade while they toiled in the burning sun.
Old Tarn found a patch of polyps that ain't growing right. Let us go for the day while they talked over whether to try another plant in there, or just let them grow and see what comes of it.
Cal nodded, feeling awkward as he stood before the nine boys. They were sweaty, the knees of their trousers stained with creme and patched from rubbing stone. But Cal was clean, wearing a fine pair of trousers his mother had purchased just a few weeks before. His father had sent him and Tien out for the day while he tended to something at the city lord's manor. Cal would pay for the break with late-night studying by stormlight, but no use explaining that to the other boys.
So, what were you talking about?
Cal, you know things.
Nagat was light-haired and spindly. He was the tallest of the bunch.
Don't you? About the world and the lake.
Yeah, sometimes.
You ever heard of dark eyes becoming light eyes?
Sure. It can happen, Father says. Wealthy dark-eyed merchants marry low-born light-eyes and join their family, then maybe have light-eyed children. That sort of thing.
No, not like that.
Cav had low eyebrows and always seemed to have a perpetual scowl on his face.
You know, real dark eyes, like us.
Cal's family were the only one of second none in the town. Everyone else was fourth or fifth, and Cal's rank made them uncomfortable around him. His father's strange profession didn't help either. It all left Cal feeling distinctly out of place.
You know how it can happen. Ask Laryl. She was just talking about it. If a man wins a shard blade on the battlefield, his eyes become light.
That's right. Everybody knows it. Even a slave could become a light eyes if he won a shard blade.
The boys nodded. They all had brown, black, or other dark-colored eyes. Winning a shard blade was one of the main reasons common men went to war. In Vorin kingdoms, everyone had a chance to rise. It was, as Cal's father would say, a fundamental tenet of their society.
Yeah, but have you ever heard of it happening? Not just in stories, I mean. Does it happen for real?
Sure, it must. Otherwise, why would so many men go to war?
Because we've got to prepare men to fight for the Tranquiline Halls. We've got to send soldiers to the Heralds. The Ardents are always talking of it.
In the same breaths that they tell us it's all right to be a farmer too, like farming some lonely second place or something.
Hey, my fa's a farmer, and he's right good at it. It's a noble calling. All your fa's are farmers.
All right, fine, Tifts. But we ain't talking of that. We're talking of shard bearers. You go to war, you can win a shard blade and become a light eyes. My fa, see, he should have been given that shard blade. But the man who was with him, he took it while my fa was knocked out. Told the officer that he'd been the one to kill the shard bearer. So he got the blade, and my fa...
Cal frowned. That was a different kind of laughter than he normally heard from her, much more subdued and kind of annoying.
Just, you're claiming your father won a shard blade?
No, it was taken from him.
Didn't your father fight in the waste scum skirmishes up north? Tell him, Kaladin.
She's right, Just. There weren't any shard bearers there, just Reshi raiders who thought they'd take advantage of the new king. They've never had any shard blades. If your father saw one, he must be remembering incorrectly.
Remembering incorrectly?
Sure. I'm not saying he's lying, Jost. He just might have some trauma-induced hallucinations or something like that.
The boys grew silent, looking at Cal. One scratched his head. Jost seemed to be watching Laurel from the corner of his eye. She pointedly looked at Cal and smiled at him.
You always gotta make a man feel like an idiot, don't you, Cal?
What? No,
You wanna make my fa sound like a fool? And you wanna make me sound stupid? Well, some of us ain't lucky enough to spend our days eating fruit and laying about. We've gotta work.
I don't...
Jost tossed the quarterstaff to Cal. He caught it awkwardly. Then Jost took the other staff from his brother.
You insult my fa, you get a fight. That's honor. You have honor, lordling?
I'm no lordling. Stormfather, Jost, I'm only a few non higher than you are.
Jost's eyes grew angrier at the mention of non. He held up his quarterstaff.
You gonna fight me or not?
Angerspren began to appear in small pools at his feet, bright red. Cal knew what Jost was doing. It wasn't uncommon for the boys to look for a way to make themselves look better than him. Cal's father said it had to do with their insecurity. He'd have told Cal to just drop the quarterstaff and walk away. But Laurel was sitting right there, smiling at him. And men didn't become heroes by walking away.
All right, sure.
Cal held up his quarterstaff. Jost swung immediately, more quickly than Cal had anticipated. Cal barely managed to get a step up. Cal was knocked off balance. Jost moved quickly, stepping to the side and swinging his staff down and hitting Cal in the foot. Jost swung his staff around and hit Cal's side. Cal let the staff hit stones and grabbed his side as he fell to his knees. Small, spindly pain spren, glowing pale orange hand shapes like stretching sinew or muscles, crawled from the stone around him. Cal dropped one hand to the stones, leaning forward as he held his side.
You'd better not have broken any of my ribs, you gremlin.
To the side, Laurel pursed her lips. Cal felt a sudden overpowering shame.
Well, you can see that my fa trained me right good. Maybe that'll show you. The things he says are true, and...
Cal snatched his quarterstaff from the ground and leapt at Jost. Something changed in that moment. Cal felt an energy as he held the weapon, an excitement that washed away his pain. He spun, smashing the staff into one of Jost's hands. Jost let go with that hand. Cal brought his weapon around and slammed it into the boy's side. Cal had never held a weapon before, never been in a fight any more dangerous than a wrestling match with Tien. But the length of wood felt right in his fingers. He was amazed by how wonderful the moment felt. Cal brought his weapon back around, preparing to smash Jost's face. He raised his staff, but then froze. Jost was bleeding from the hand Cal had hit. Just a little, but it was blood. He'd hurt someone. Jost lurched upright. Before Cal could protest, the large boy swept Cal's legs from underneath him, sending him to the ground. That set afire the wound in his side, and the pain spren scampered across the ground, latching onto Cal's side, looking like an orange scar as they fed on Cal's agony. Jost stepped back. Cal lay on his back. He didn't know what to feel. Holding the staff in that moment had felt wonderful, incredible. At the same time, he could see Laurel to the side. She stood up, and instead of kneeling to help him, turned and walked away toward her father's mansion. Tears welled in Cal's eyes. He rolled over and grabbed the quarterstaff again. He would not give in.
None of that now!
Cal felt something hard in his back, a boot shoving him down to the stone. Jest took the staff from Cal's fingers.
I failed. I lost.
He hated the feeling. Hated it far more than the pain.
You did well. But leave off. I don't want to have to hurt you for real.
Cal bowed his head down, letting his forehead rest on the warm, sunlit rock. Jost removed his foot, and the boys withdrew. Cal forced himself to his hands and knees, then up onto his feet. Jost turned back, wary, holding his quarterstaff in one hand.
Teach me!
Jost blinked in surprise. He glanced at his brother.
Teach me! I'll worm for you, Jost. My father gives me 2 hours off each afternoon. I'll do your work then if you'll teach me in the evenings what your father's teaching you with that staff.
He had to know. Had to feel the weapon in his hands again. Had to see if that moment he'd felt had been a fluke. Jost considered, then finally shook his head.
Can't. Your fa would kill me. Get those surgeon's hands of yours all covered with calluses? Wouldn't be right. You go be what you are, Cal. I'll be what I am.
Cal stood for a long while watching them go. He sat down on the rock. Laurel's figure was growing distant. There were some servants coming down the hillside to fetch her.
Should I chase after her?
His side still hurt, and he was annoyed at her for leading him down to the others in the first place. And, above all, he was still embarrassed. He lay back down, emotions welling inside of him. He had trouble sorting through them.
Kaladin?
He turned, ashamed, to find tears in his eyes, and saw Tien sitting on the ground behind him.
How long have you been there?
Tien smiled, then set a rock on the ground. He climbed to his feet and hurried away.
Tien!
Tien didn't stop.
Storm it!
Cal forced himself to his feet and walked over to pick up the rock. It was another dull, ordinary stone. Tien had a habit of finding those and thinking they were incredibly precious. He had an entire collection of them back in the house. He knew where he'd found each one and could tell you what was special about it. Cal began walking back toward the town.
You go be what you are, I'll be what I am.
His side smarted. Why hadn't he hit Jost when he'd had the chance? Could he train himself out of freezing in battle like that? He could learn to hurt, couldn't he? Did he want to?
You go be what you are.
What did a man do if he didn't know what he was, or even what he wanted to be? Eventually, he reached Hearthstone proper. The 100 or so buildings were set in rows, each one shaped like a wedge, with the low side pointing stormward. The roofs were of thick wood, tarred to seal out the rain. The northern and southern sides of the buildings rarely had windows, but the fronts, facing west, away from the storms, were nearly all window. Like the plants of the Stormlands, the lives of men here were dominated by the high storms. Cal's home was near the outskirts. It was larger than most, built wide to accommodate the surgery room, which had its own entrance. The door was ajar, so Cal peeked in. He'd expected to see his mother cleaning, but instead found that his father had returned from Bright Lord Wistio's manor. Liren sat on the edge of the operating table, hands in his lap, bald head bowed. He held his spectacles in his hand, and he looked exhausted.
Father, why are you sitting in the dark?
Liren looked up. His face was somber, distant.
Father?
Bright Lord Wistio has been carried by the winds.
He's dead?
Wistio had always been there.
He can't be gone. What about Laurel?
He was healthy just last week.
He has always been frail, Cal. The Almighty calls all men back to the spiritual realm eventually.
You didn't do anything?
I did all I could. Perhaps a man with more training than I... Well, there is no use in regrets.
Liren walked to the side of the room, removing the black covering from the goblet lamp filled with diamond spheres. It lit the room immediately, blazing like a tiny sun.
We have no city lord, then. He had no son.
Those in Kolinar will appoint us a new city lord. Almighty send them wisdom in the choice.
Liren looked at the goblet lamp. Those were the city lord's spheres. A small fortune. Cal's father put the covering right back on the goblet as if he hadn't just removed it. The motion plunged the room back into darkness, and Cal blinked as his eyes adjusted.
He left these to us.
What?
You're to be sent to Carbranth when you turn 16. These spheres will pay your way. Bright Lord Wistio requested it be done, a last act to care for his people. You will go and become a true master surgeon, then return to Hearthstone.
In that moment, Cal knew his fate had been sealed. If Bright Lord Wistio had demanded it, Cal would go to Carbranth. He turned and walked from the surgery room, passing out into the sunlight, not saying another word to his father. He sat down on the steps. What did he want? He didn't know. That was the problem. Glory, honor, the things Laurel had said, none of those really mattered to him. But there had been something there when he'd held the quarterstaff. And now, suddenly, the decision had been taken from him. The rocks Tien had given him were still in his pocket. He pulled them out, then took his canteen off his belt and washed them with water. The first one he'd been given showed the white swirls and strata. It appeared the other one had a hidden design, too. It looked like a face, smiling at him, made of white bits in the rock. Cal smiled despite himself, though it quickly faded. A rock wasn't going to solve his problems. Unfortunately, though he sat for a long while thinking, it didn't look like anything would solve his problems. He wasn't sure he wanted to be a surgeon, and he felt suddenly constricted by what life was forcing him to become. But that one moment, holding the quarterstaff, sang to him. A single moment of clarity in an otherwise confusing world.